bigger than Brother Dan Chapel. Fella walked up there the other night down the street to Houston, slapped him. The big George drive back weighs 265. And said, 4.5 years ago down the Texas Convention, God saved me. He said, He just saved you. Amen. Just saved you. Amen. Open your Bibles in 1 Timothy in chapter 1. Now, I want to say this tonight. Every one of you, you run a flag up, God's going to test you. He's going to test you. We got a man with us here from Peru. He lives in Mexico now. He's working down there teaching the Bible. Should I want to just stand him? He don't understand what I'm talking about. But this is Brother Pedro Franco. Brother Franco, would you please stand, please? Yeah, I want you people to meet him. Amen. Just tell him where we're coming. He said, you know, I got saved 24 years ago in Peru. And he said, I thought that Chattanooga was the independent Baptist Mecca. He said, I really thought that. He said, all those missionaries that came down there and told us how to be saved. And he said, they led me to the Lord when I was 18 years old and God called me to preach. He pastored that 20 years. And God used him. And Brother Doug Craig, a good friend of mine, went into Christ and a good godly man. And they trained him. Discipled him there, and then he went on to the seminary, and God has used this man for 20 odd years as a pastor. But he said, you know, I really thought that it was a Mecca. He came to the States and came over here because he was invited over here, and all of a sudden he found out that it was a Southern Baptist. And so if you're a Southern Baptist preacher here tonight, you know, we'll forgive you. But he came, and he I think that was funny. I brought my flag up 35 years ago. Amen. And this man came over here and they said, you just don't have to worry about nothing. We'll just take care of you and we'll pay you. And so he kind of moved along a little bit and finally he said, just a minute. I'm an independent Baptist. And, I can't do this. And the man said, you'll have to get a job. He said, well, that's all right. I'll go to work. But I can't take this money. That's not what I am, and I'm not going to accept it right away. You have to understand the Spanish-speaking people, they just got still got some principles about it. They're not going to take it. You say, I'll just use that money for the Lord. No, you wouldn't. You'd be a compromiser. If you don't run the flag, I'm waiting 24 years. Amen. Well, praise God anyhow. All right. I thought that was true. Amen. I know I'm not recommending this to anybody. This is really not even Christian, but I've done it anyway. Like I say, it made me feel good. It wouldn't make you feel good at all. It made me feel wonderful. And I know it's not Christian and all that, and I know it's probably against your Christian ethics, but it just made me feel wonderful. And since it made me feel so wonderful, if I ever see them, I'll do it again. But my wife and I, my church bought me a new car. And it's the little Lincoln. They bought it for me. And I drove everything and rode on a box car. I mean, since I've been saved, I've literally caught me a freight train. Yeah, I mean, I slept in everything under God's heaven. We went 8 to 10 months without any lights. My grown sons are sitting over here, a couple of them, 34 years old, and a younger boy, and another back there about 30. And we just slept everywhere, eat anything, get our hands on, and you know, God, give me this nice car. My wife and I, we went out to eat the other day, and there was a guy about 30 years ago, he told me, said, you'll never amount to nothing. And I was sitting there, and I told my wife, I said, you know who that is? That's that guy. She said, oh, no, that ain't. He said, don't say nothing to people. I said, that's him. And so, you know, we got ready to go out and walked over the table and I called him by his name. I said, how you doing? And he said, just fine. He's a man 63 or 4 years old. You know, he's retired in ministry. I said, how you doing? He said, doing all right. He said, what are you doing now? I said, doing the same thing I've been doing 35 years, preaching. And he said, oh, you're still preaching. I said, yeah, I passed right over here.
Oh, he said, you still down there in the Heights and that little ghetto church? I said, oh, no. We bought us a $1 million church out there. I know you're not supposed to do this. You're not Christian. And I said, this year we gave $161,000 a mission and reaching in his pocket. I didn't know what he was looking for, but he finally got a car now. And he said, if you're out of town sometime and you need a supply, and this sucker going to come on supply for me. And so he and his wife, they went outside, and I went and got my car. John, don't y'all ever do this. John, don't you never do this. And I told my wife, I said, stand right here. And you know, my wife, I'm an odd guy. You know, you just get in the car. I ain't open the door for you. You just get yourself. That's just me. But Tom Woodard, he wouldn't do that. But, you know, my wife just tell you just have to get in the car, you know, and I'll be driving off while you're closing the door. But, I said, stand out here, honey. She said, Jack, it's not raining. Jack, what are you doing? I said, stand right here. I'm going to go get the car. I drove right up where that other preacher's wife was standing. He picked up his wife, and I picked up my wife, and I said, goodbye. Don't y'all do that. But 30-something years ago, he said, you'll never amount to nothing. You'll be running around behind Roloff taking care of his tent, shining his shoes. I said, bless God, that'd be all right. That's what he told me. That's what he told me. I'd rather run up my flags and be a fag. That, Joel. I don't know about you. I'm honest before God. If I did anything in the Lord's work just for my own benefit and compromise, I couldn't face these boys over here. I really couldn't. God knows my heart. I couldn't face it. I got 5 boys. I might not groom up being nothing else, but they're men. Amen. You look in your Bible in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. The Bible said, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. That Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You say, Brother Wood, that really doesn't mean that he is the worst sinner ever lived. It means he's the worst sinner ever lived. And the Holy Ghost said, write it down, right there. The Holy Ghost said that's true because he wrote it down. He said, of whom I am the chief. Sounds like the worst sinner, killing Christians, slaughtering young people. I don't know what all they've done. But he's a horrible man. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy. And in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him unto life everlasting. Now, Paul said something about, I'm going to be a pattern. Now, some of you ladies know what a pattern is. Some of you young women don't. People quit making dresses nowadays. But you know what a pattern is. It's you have to go according to the pattern. I saw a woman one time make a dress, and I said, you used a pattern? She said, I made my own pattern. After I saw the dress, I figured she did. Amen? We find that in Christian life, too. Amen? They just make their own pattern. Looks a little sloppy. I mean, you wouldn't want to wear it to the best restaurant. Amen? But anyway, Paul said, I'm the pattern, and I believe that as far as a preacher was concerned, Paul was the pattern. Amen? Not only that, but in his prayer life, in chapter 2 here in verse 1, he's also the pattern. But then the Bible said, I obtained mercy and I was a pattern. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. Now, Tim, I want you to do it just like I did it. According to the prophecy which went before on thee, that thou by them might war a good warfare. The prophecies that was on you. You are a good warfare. holding faith and a good conscience. Now, Brother Farley said about the flag a while ago, you got to run that flag up and keep the faith, but you got to have a clear conscience. A preacher, you got to sleep with yourself. You got to lay your head on your pillow, and you got to face yourself. Now, I'm sorry, you might not believe this, and it doesn't make any difference. But 34 years ago, I was in a denomination, and they said, Jack, if you'll go to this college, then we'll do so-and-so. And if you'll do this, Jack, we'll recommend you to this church. I ain't never been recommended to a church. And furthermore, I ain't never preached in a view of a call. And furthermore, I ain't never had no pulpit committee come to hear me. You say, I understand that. Well, I understand that. I pastored three churches, and God allowed us to build them. Amen. When we took this church, they had 19 now, and they left. Amen. All the members stayed with my mother, and I think she did it just because she thought I was retarded. Nobody else. We do have a pattern, and there's some things in Paul's life that he faced, and he knew Timothy was going to face the same things. We've heard already, but when he got here in the book of Galatians in chapter 2 and verse 11, he said that he faced the Apostle Peter face to face. And he faced him over some practices that were not right. We believe today if you face anybody and say, brother, I'm sorry. You know, this is wicked, that's wrong. Oh, Brother Wood stuck his nose in their business. Oh, I'm going to. Just let me catch you the light. Amen. Amen. And when you know, you go in people's home and you say, well, now I'm sorry, but you can't do that. And they'll say, that's none of your business. Yeah. Brother Olaf had a little message he used to preach on, mind your own business. And I was with him years ago, and a lady told him that on the porch and said, go home and mind your own business. And she was tying up a home. And so he got to mind in his own business and told her how sorry and wicked and low down she was. Well, preacher, we ought to mind our business. Amen? And this lady said to me, I went over to her house, and she flopped her husband about three times, and so she forgot to get a divorce the last time. And she come walking into church on Sunday morning with this old boy. And he looked like his barber died. And after service, I went to their house. And you wouldn't believe it, her name was Peacock. And she walked like one, act like one. And I went over and I said, Linda, I'm sorry, but there's some things going on here. There's not pleasing to the Lord. And she said, well, I know you don't believe it. She said, well, me and my boyfriend are living here, but we're not living together. I said, you said it. I don't believe it. And I charged her for adultery. And do you know that her sister was a member of our church, a big fancy soul winner, went out and visited all the time, and she left and said, Brother Wood was unchristian. Look that old whore out of the church, and he's unchristian. I mean, he's not even a Christian. Look what he's done to that dirty lady. Put her out of the church. Yeah. Yeah. That's all you are. Thank you, Brother Wood. But there's some things you're going to have to face, and you're going to have to face some Christians sometimes, or sometimes you're going to have to do what's right. And then Paul in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts, in verse 50, after God called him into the mission work, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Paul, and bind for the work when I call it. And as soon as that riot started, persecution started. And so he didn't only face Peter, he faced the persecution. And people are going to say all manner of bad things about you. He was told they were kind of lying on me. You can imagine. Brother Farley's my son-in-law. How many times this past year did you preach in Texas outside of our church yet? None. He preached 35 meetings, but none in Texas. I preached 35 meetings and none in Texas. They said, Brother Wood, would you come to our meeting? I said, no. I'm not running under no other flag.
One guy told me one morning, he said, did you go over to their meeting? I said, yeah. I said, what? It was a World Baptist meeting. I said, well, some wonderful Christians are. I was so green, Joe, I didn't know that. And see, I went over there, and it was World Baptist over there, and these guys were going to Springfield, and I didn't even know where Springfield was at. And I went over there, and I come home, I told my wife, I said, man, I met some guy, pre-millennial, believe it by old World Baptist men, old brother John Duckett and Leveler, and I said, man, they love the Lord. And the next time I found some guys across town, and they seemed to love the Lord, and I went over there. One of them guys come to me from that other group and said, somebody told me you was over the Springfield group last week. I said, listen, big boy, I go anywhere I want to. He said, you better make up your mind who you're going to run with. I said, be telling me who I'm going to run with. If I'm not going to let some big denomination pay me a salary to run with them, I ain't going to let a bunch of independents tell me how to do it for nothing. Amen. 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 Now, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, there's some things in Paul's life. And Paul said, I'm a pattern. Hey, Timothy! If you don't know what to do, do what the old man done. Just look back. I'm the pattern son. And then he faced poverty. Now, some of you little girls ain't going to have to listen. Because your daddy gave you everything you want. And we not going to sacrifice. Don't you start talking about that sacrifice. But Paul's a pattern. Somebody called on these fellows here to come up here and sing. They said out there working on the bus. See, one thing, ain't nothing wrong with that. You say, well, I don't work on mine. I just get a mechanic. I know. He said, the Lord supplied it. You wouldn't know if you met him in the middle of the road. You know, there's a strange thing about this verse of Scripture in Philippians 4. He said, I know how to suffer want, and I know how to abound. In other words, he said, I can handle poverty, and I can handle money. And the folks sitting right in this building can't handle either one. I told my wife one time, I had 8 children, and if any kind of deal come up, I'd make it right quick. And I always kept my daddy's check in my pocket, and I could write a check on it for $8,000 or $10,000. I had to. I needed it. And not for my first was ever. It was a money-making deal. I just wrote a check on him. Nobody ever knew who it was. His name's Jack Wood. My name's Jack Wood. And they called the bank. They said, check, goodness, sir. He took $20,000, $50,000, whatever you want. And so I did. Said, I like that somebody. But they didn't look that wasn't my signature. That's his signature. But I bought these cows, and I sold these cows, and I made some money. And I took this money, and I put it under my mattress. You said, did you pay income tax? Oh, nope. I said, I put it on my mattress. A whole bunch of money. And so we lived in this old shack. And my wife, she was worried. And she was worried. This had been 20 years ago, 25 years ago. And I was going to Colorado to preach, and she couldn't get no rest. She said, are you leaving tomorrow? I said, yeah, I'm going out there to preach Brother Bud Hammer in the meeting in Denver. And she said, Jack, how are we going to pay this? And I said, we got plenty. Don't worry about it. She said, you always say that. You're just always. I said, honey, don't worry about it. And she said, Jack, how are we going to pay? I said, well, okay, get up. And so she got my list of the matches up, and there's $12,000 laying there. She said, Lord, have mercy. Where'd you get that? And then I went to sleep. I spent maybe an hour, and I woke up. And I looked over there, her eyes wide. I said, what are you doing now? She said, man, somebody's going to break in here and steal. I just reached over and turned the light on, raised the cover up as a double barrel saw on shotgun. I said, go to sleep. Somebody's going to take none away from me. Hear me. Know how to handle any money. But sometimes God gives you some money. So you spend it. Lady told me 2 days after Christmas, said, I'm having a terrible time. I said, what's the matter? She said, I owe some bills. I said, y'all paid it 3 days before Christmas. As she told me how much she spent for Christmas, I knew she should have. There's some faith, you got to face poverty. How many older people? Brother Joe, now I want Brother Joe, you might stand up. I say, this is a dear brother from down in San Jose.
Pastor Brother Lawrence Church at. Good church. Runs up to 300, about 300. Brother Joey, when back when we was young preachers and you was about 25, you had a church at Freer, wasn't it? You had all that money and wealth down there. Brother Joey, how much did they pay you at that church?
There was anything
back. There was no south. How long was you there, Brother Joey?
I worked there
about
5 years. That was another 5 years.
Ten years. God bless you. And there wasn't no sound. And he had an old car that he turned over one night and went to sleep, and that car was kind of, you know, a station wagon. It been rolled over and over and over, you know. And he just kept driving. I've known this man for years and years and years. Down south side San Juan, he started at work there. Poverty was the man of the game. I hear people. You might as well just pray it out loud. God, do anything to me but poverty. But some of you older people know some of the greatest times in your life is when you're the poorest. I took Cecil Lawrence on 30-something years ago for $10 a month. Bless God, he was glad to give it. Well, he didn't have the 15 supporting churches at that time, and none of them gave over 10. Because he didn't have a very big family like me. I had 7, 8 young ones. What about 8?
7.
7? And 1 only. Amen. Amen. You're going to face these things. You're going to face it. You're going to face the conflicts. You're going to face your critics. You're going to face the criticism. And you're going to face the confusion. You're going to have it.
And you might as well get ready for it.
You're going out there on a mission field, and the people not going to wake up and open their arms and say, we're glad to see you. They're going to chuck rocks at you. And have a Yankee, go home. And you Southern boys going to be shooting on us. You might as well just write this down. You're going to face age. You go out on the mission field, you'll get older and older and older. And I see some missionaries coming back home and begin to make preparation for the fire. And prepare a home that you'll never live in.
Right.
You're going to face age. You'll face ambition out there. Some of you ladies might well listen to me. Some of you ladies, because of ambitions in your heart, you won't stay.
That's right.
And you'll talk that man into leaving. Don't tell me, because I've seen hundreds of women finally convince their husband to get off of the field and come home.
That's right.
And boy, what a great picture. But I've never seen a happy man leave the field of his calling and never be happy again. And I saw women live in hell because of what that preacher was going through. He knew where God called him. And I want to just say this. I'd just soon be a compromiser biblically if I had to compromise with a woman.
You said, if you had a woman, what would you do with her? I'd trade her for a blind jackass and shoot the jackass.
Amen. God help, God help. I like to say this, you preachers ain't married. You better find your woman. Danny Parler came to me many a time and said, preacher, tears in his face and his lips are trembling, and said, thank you for the girl that you raised for me. Thank you for the girl that you raised for me. I said, there's some things you're going to face out there. Then there's some things you're going to have to forsake. He said, thou then must, that you might war a good warfare, holding that faith and a good conscience, which some have put away. They put away what? Their conscience and their faith. You know, you keep fooling that conscience, and you'll say, well, you know, if I do this, this will just better the gospel, and it'll further the gospel, and I'll get more well-known, and I'll get more spread out.
Yeah.
Those other things get spread out, and you'll be just like it. Amen. All right. All right. But there's some things you got to forsake. You got to forsake. And Paul forsook some things, and the Bible said Moses forsook Egypt. He forsook Egypt. He could have lived in a palace, but he chose to live with God's people. He could have had the wealth and everything, but he chose to go with God's people. You got to make a choice. You got to make a choice. But he's independent. He ain't made no choice yet.
I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people like Brother Tom Woodard. He come out of Texas the other day. He come back. He said, I want to witness that. This ain't our kind of
life. A lot of these independents ain't our kind.
Lord, have mercy.
Paul persists in that. He persists his friends and his family. And some of you are not willing, you might as well get willing. Because if God ever uses you, you're going to have to leave that family. The hardest thing in your life that you'll ever do is reach up and kiss your mother or daddy on the cheek and say, listen, Mom, God called me. And if their mom and dad's the right kind of Christian, they'll say, God bless you, honey. You go ahead and serve God. Or Danny Farley come down here tonight and say, Brother Jack, God has called me tonight to go to China. I'd be the happiest man in all the world. God! Down in my soul, that'd be regret. And I wouldn't see my three grandsons all the time like I do. That's God. I say, I praise God for it. I praise God for it. You're going to have to get loose from that family.
Amen. Yes, sir.
But you're just having it so hard where you're at. And Mom will buy you a airplane ticket, you little bird brain idiot. You just come on home. You just come on home. Mama's got a nice little place for you. You nuts. You screwball. You ain't a woman. You ain't a woman. And take that dress off and put you a nice room. You ain't a woman. You want to go home and climb up in Mama's lap and be a little girl. You tell this world you're a woman. Bless God. It takes more than a dress to make a woman. Hallelujah. Wave your hands, say glory to God now. Come on down and shout hallelujah. Amen. You've got to leave your family and your friends. And this Bible said in Luke 14, so likewise, whosoever be of you that forsake not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. I believe that's in there. 16:11 King James. You say, I believe it all. Well, how about believing that? How about practicing that in the last commandment? Amen. You're going to have to forsake your country and your culture. Lord, have mercy.
You mean tell me, that man there got on a plane and
came from Peru to Mexico.
Peru is the most evangelized country in the world.
It really is.
You're going to leave Peru and the culture and your family and go to Manama, Mexico,
on that frontier of Texas out there, dirt and poverty like you had never seen before in your life. His wife has a degree in college. Oh, man, look here. We're equipped to do something in some large church. God would sure use us as smart as we are.
Look, Johnny, wake up. Most pastors in America are just about ready to have a heart attack.
Man called me Saturday night. I mean, he's all shook up. Brother Wood, I believe I'll resign and go someplace else. I said, Brother, you done flunked there. Why don't you just flunk again? 99% of all the trouble that my missionaries write me, and we support 50-something missionaries, every one of them, Brother Wood, I'm having trouble with this missionary. I said, you idiot, I told you when you left here to leave them alone. Only turkeys running herds. And a few chickens. But God prepares eagles. Prepare by himself. But make up your mind whether you're going to be a chicken or a turkey. We'll forsake sometimes. I'm going to tell you, ladies, men both, security can become your heartbeat if you're not careful. Here, there, or in there. Rick was getting $650 or $700 a month. The mission board knows all about it. And I couldn't do anything about it. I was trying to do something. I wasn't nothing I could do financially. And we were strapped to the nth degree. And Houston was falling all to pieces. And we couldn't do nothing. We talked to the men about it. And finally I said, bless God, I believe Rick's man enough to go through it. He sits under in Germany where everybody here will tell you got to have about $2,500. And he had about $650, and he just stayed right there and went right over and done what God told him to do. He just kept on doing what God, and them that had plenty, many of them, they done washed out, they done come back, they done gone. Yeah. Some people just made up their mind they ain't going home. Yeah. God didn't call you to go home, you go.
Yeah.
God called you to go to mission field.
Yeah.
Get over there and stay. God called Joe Pillar. Joe Pillar called me this week. I said, Joe, how long you been there? He said, 4 years. He said, I tell you, preacher, just for the devil to slap him in the face,
Then I stayed about another year and a half.
I said, get out of him, Joe. Just get out of him, Joe. He said, I'm just going to stay about 6 years. Just make the devil mad.
Just make the devil mad.
Yeah. That makes him mad. If anybody goes and stays, it just makes him mad. Paul forsook somebody. Amen.
Just shut up.
Some things in Paul's life that he feared. I want to tell you one thing. He feared running in vain. He feared of being one just beating the ass. He feared becoming a castaway. There's some things that Paul feared more than he did the brethren. There's some things that he feared more than he did them people. There's some things he feared more than he did the devil. He feared some things more than he did the opposition and the government and a jail and a prison. Amen, amen, amen. Some things he feared. He feared falling after God had saved him. I don't know about you. I tell you, God saved me. I was in such a mess, and my life was such a mess. Me and my wife got in California, and I got saved. I tell you, Dan, God knows I was so happy to be saved. And I got to live for the Lord, and I still don't know nothing. But I tell you what, I got me a couple old bullhorns, put them on them cars, and I began to preach all over this country on them things. Nobody, old Bubba T, I walked out that bed, looked down that old stone where we put him on that grave. And I looked down, and I remember that old big old weird thing. He standing up there just a singing away, and me just a preaching away on the streets. And I went over years and years, and the preacher goes by and looked at it. And I drove my Lincoln by and looked at it. Yes, sir. Like a dingbat. Ain't got no power of God. Ain't got no concern for man. They done lost their conscience. Their conscience are gone. They're for sale. Whoever bid the highest bidder. I'll pass the worm or where the money leads. Amen. Yeah, I'll pass the worm it feeds. Amen. Just give me the money. Give me what the world got to offer. Give me some honor. Give me some glory in the world. And I'll do it. But some men refuse to burn their conscience on the altar. Just looking at there's some things Paul feared. Sure he did. And you better fear it also. This Bible says he's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the throne of grace. He said, Tim, I'm going to commit some things to you, Tim, and I want you to take them and we'll put up a good fight. I want you to hold your faith and a good conscience. He said, Tim, some of them done made a shipwreck. They done made a shipwreck. I believe all my heart that the Apostle Paul feared losing God's favor. I don't know about you. I read everybody's books and probably in my life, God only knows how many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books I've read. I can't even remember what the name of the book was. Boy, that's what was in the book. Huh? I can't remember. My wife said, how come you can read a book and you read 100 pages and you can't never remember what page you stopped at? I said, I can't even remember what it's about. You can't criticize a guy because he's just a little bit dumb, can you? This I got sense enough to read. Amen? I'll tell you, I'm scared. I'm scared of losing God's favor. I don't know. But the Bible just said David was a man after God's own heart. Now, if that sorry rascal can live for God, me and you can too.
Now, old David is not the very type of a man. He has some good characteristics. He sure has some bad. I believe that's kind of showing you that's the way all of us are.
He said, I don't like your preaching. I could care less. My wife don't either. She gets it anyway. Huh? Yeah. I'll just let her have it anyway. Somebody asked her, said, do you just go listen to him all the time? She said, listen, when he ain't in the pulpit, he's preaching. Said, I have to preach all the time. But I believe Paul lived in a fear of losing God's favor. That's the reason he kept his conscience clean before God, where God could speak to him and deal. Holding the faith where God could speak to him and deal, and he'd grow in the grace of God. I believe he feared faith coming to cast away. I don't want to fail. I'm a teetotal failure, but I don't want to be no failure. I don't want everybody just walk out to the grave, Tom, and look down that grave and say,
Say, this monkey, you know, he can live nothing, he ain't do nothing. He's just a flat-footed washout.
But you might as well be honest tonight.
You might as well be honest tonight. If you keep on going like you have the last year, where are you going to be next year? I mean, if your life is just like it is this year, if it is next year, where are you going to be? Where are you going to be? Then you have to die next year. How are you going to heaven, sir? Famous or faithful? On fire for God or faithful? Having fervency with God or faithful? How are you going? Oh, yeah. How are you going? Fear of failure. Being a testimony. I believe the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I believe just by the time you get scared of God, you're smart enough. But he's smart if you're smart enough. By the time you get scared of God, you are smart enough. Now, I want you to know something else. Paul here in his life, he had to fight. I mean, he said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he talked all about it. I believe with all my heart that he fought that flesh more than anything else. I don't know who you have the most trouble with, but old Jack's the guy I have trouble with. That's the guy I have trouble with. And I don't know about you, but this flesh just sometimes don't want to get up. And I tell you, lazy sucker, get up. And sometimes them meetings just get thrown up. You don't want to get in the car. And I said, you lazy sucker, if you don't get in the car, I'm going to help you in the car. Are you listening? Are you listening? Hey, this flesh just don't want to get up. A guy said to me the other day, he said, well, Brother Wood, I've been coming to your meeting for years and years, but the last 4 years I hadn't come now. And he said, I've just always something come up. I said, hey, big boy, I know what come up. There's 1,000 miles of concrete between my house and your house. That's what come up. So I made sure he got here this year. I shipped him Federal Express. Amen. I got a Federal Express, shipped him right into Houston. Amen. He got up and he said, well, I made it this year. I stood up and I said, I shipped him in here Federal Express. 280 pounds of him. Amen. Amen. He fought the flesh. And he fought some feuds in the church. And I hear people all the time say, Brother Wood, I just don't like a fight. I do. You said, Brother Wood, people call me all the time and say, what do you do about this? I said, run the sucker off. I mean, you know, it's simple. Yeah. 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 Oh, Lord. People ask you what to do with a no-good church member. I mean, a man who's a womanizer, or a woman who's chasing every man. What do I do about it, brother? Run the sucker off. But Brother Wood, I'm praying about it, and I ask the Lord if he'll help me. He ain't going to help you. He told you to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, please, run them off. Please, run them off. He said, not us, when I called you to be the pastor. You can. You said, that's what I'm going to do. Sunday morning, Brother Wood, I'm going to get up in my church, and I'm going to let them have you hit the crib. You're hiding behind that pulpit, calling in that office. And tell that dirty legged sucker, get out of the church.
Amen.
Call them in that office, 3 or 4 men of God in this church. Call them in that office and said, goodbye, honey.
Amen.
We don't like that. We just don't like to face people.
Amen.
It's because we're fundamental Baptists. Buddy Cargill said it years ago. He remembered seeing a TV thing and these guys all shooting at each other. And he said, this big tough guy, you know, would go out in the barn while everybody was trying to unload his guns. And then when everybody rode out of town, he'd run out there and said, did we do something? His gun's just a smoking, just like a theater on the hay. He must have been an independent Baptist. Yeah. Best guy, call some preacher, Brother Wood, would you come help me in a meeting? And Brother Wood gets out of the car, Brother Wood. I've got a lady in the church, and I got a man in the church. They're causing a lot of trouble, Brother Wood. So you call me over here to do your dirty low-down wash. Listen, lady, you wash your dirty diapers yourself.
Amen.
And Mr. Preacher, you wash your own dirty hall.
Amen.
I don't want nobody dealing with the sins in my church.
Amen.
I'll take care of Jones. Amen. I'll take care of him. He just had a meeting one night, and the guy sitting over there, and I said, hey, Dave. He said, yes, sir. I said, hey, Dave. I said, you woke your wife last night? He said, well, yeah, she got smart, and then I popped upside head. I said, I'll make the most of my
church old David, put him out of the church. I thought that you didn't do that, that man said not that. Why, that little wimpy sucker, he ain't going to get up and say nothing. Man, whoop a woman. Any man who whoops his wife, I can whoop you, get up. Little wimpy sucker, you don't have to worry about nobody like that. Brother Woodhull, that hurt the church. No, that makes everybody else quit whooping their wife.
I just don't like that, but there ain't no churches around here practice that. Ain't none around here shouting either. Ain't none around here sending out missionaries either. Ain't none praising God either. But hell,
we got a bunch of heathen. Man said the other day, said, I took my wife, I know she's an adulteress, and she's I took her out to dinner, and I bought her dinner. Brother said, you know, the Bible said you're not to even eat with her. You said, she's my wife. I wouldn't tell anybody. Brother Wood, I'm praying she'd come back. I'd give that sucker $100 and ship her. Who in the world under God's heaven ever heard of a man of God bringing a whore into the church to be the first lady in the church of God? Now, if you just look at me right in the eyeball, bless God, I'm talking. I'm doing a preaching right here tonight. Who in the world ever thought that we'd get down to the point that we'd excuse a man or a woman? And they say, well, Brother Wood, we're recommending him to that church over there. You know, the last three churches he's been in, he's had some problem with a girl. But we're going to recommend him, Brother Wood, and get him in the ministry. Listen, get that sucker out of the house of God. I'd be scared that my dog go to that church. That's how it is. That's how it is. He said, this is drastic, Brother Wood. I tell you, people live drastic. People live drastic. And I want to say something. The Church of God, everything ought to be done with love and compassion and concern. But I'm going to tell you, people live filthy, dirty, ungodly life. And people just call me and say, well, Brother Wood, we're trying to help them. And a man sitting out here called me one night, and he said, Brother Wood, I got this problem out here. I said, every one of them people you deal with, they're liars. Yeah. I said, and here's what they told you. And I told this man, he said, right here, at service, he'll tell you. And I told him exactly what that man told him. He said, Brother Wood, how'd you know he told me that? I said, they're all liars. And everyone has the same story. And they sit there trying to get you to sympathize with them. And I hate queers. And there's only one thing I hate worse than a queer. And that's a no-good Baptist preacher that sympathizes with them. You get out on the streets of Houston and see little boys and girls living in molested by that bunch of weirdos, and you sit here and you go up in that jail and see 600 of those queers locked in one bunk, and they got a black band around, a yellow band around every one of them gone. You haul men down every day down and have them tested for AIDS, and these two's got it, and these three's got it, and these two's got it. You'll get mad too. Amen. And if you're sympathetic with queers, I think you just a little bit off. Furthermore, I think you're already getting a little funny. Amen. You said I'll whoop you after service. Anybody sympathize with queers can't whoop me. Because both them big old boys, well, they hate queer bad as their daddy does, and they can help. Amen. I said he fought feuds in the church, and he fought frustration in his own heart. You fight the battles of God, and you get in the war of God, and sometimes you'll just get so frustrated you don't know where you're at. And you'll stop and you say, my God, my wife's against me, the children chucking lost, shouting, and the church over here, they went to the devil. What in the world am I supposed to do? I'll tell you one thing Paul didn't do. He stayed with God. He stayed with God. He fought the frustration. And I want to say this. He fought friction amongst the brethren. You said, Brother Wood, they don't believe now. Who cares what they believe? I got so I don't even tell anybody nothing. Them guys out in Texas, they come up to me and, or do you go here, do you go out there? Hey, man, forget it. You want a cup of coffee? Huh?
Do you believe the King James Bible is high? I said, hey, man, forget it. Would you like to have a cup of coffee? Did you tell God yesterday what you do? Huh?
Listen, man, I'm not talking about that. He said, Brother Will, I just get it all straight. Now, you ain't never going to straighten them out. The such as a compromise and an unbeliever, and if a man's an unbeliever, you ain't going to straighten him out. He's an unbeliever.
Christian amongst the brethren.
I think this man said he fought a good fight. I mean, he beat the devil out of somebody.
Amen.
I mean, he fought a good fight. He fought the brethren. He fought animals, the lion, what have you. He fought the demons of hell and of the devil and the flesh and everything you can imagine. Buddy, he fought a good fight.
But in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 11, he followed. You got your Bible and look in 6:11. Amen. You said, oh, well, I'm through. I ain't.
But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness and godliness and faith, love, and patience. You know, I believe in 2 Timothy, it says something like this. Chapter 2 and verse 22, it said, flee youthful lust, follow after righteousness and faith and charity and peace with thee. There's your flag. With thee! You're going to have to get with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I mean, you're going to have to get with them.
And there's a lot of folks that I'm going to follow God, but they ain't going to get with them.
You got that?
Now, he's talking. Wait, I'm talking about a pursuit of God. Now, I praise God, and I make no bones about it. Lee Robinson taught us in school over here. When I went to school, they taught us about to go after people, love souls, and try to win souls to Christ. And I know in those years that some people got maybe different on that thing and what have you, and some just went that way. But that old man taught us to go after the souls of men and taught us to love souls. Are you listening to me now? And I believe that there ought to be a pursuit of souls. But if you're not going to pursue God, I went down to Brother Roloff's work, and the first time I ever saw Cecil Lawrence, been about 34 years ago, maybe 35 years ago, we was in a prayer and fasting on Charlie Mule's ranch. First time I ever saw him. Me and this old man, he was a young man then, about 35. And I was in my 20s. And Brother Roloff had us down there on that floor. That old rascal 70 years old, y'all, you're laughing at me. And he's trying to get his thing. And some of y'all trying to get out of it. Amen. We down in Charlie Mule's ranch, and Farrell said, we're not going to eat nothing. We're going to drink this fresh water out of that creek out there. We stayed there 3 days and three nights and fasted and prayed and sought God. And they'd read a chapter of the Bible. 42 preachers down and go around. They read 42 chapters and they go around. And that went on day and night. And that old man of God taught us that. And we rode in the car with him and choked him around and drove him around and helped put up the tents and what have you. And he taught us fast and pray and pursue God, look for God, live right, walk right. That old man, he won more souls than anybody I've met. But he just had this thing, pursue God, look for God, search after God, hunger after God, he thirsted after the things of God. That's what that old man told us. I tell you one thing, like Brother Peter Ruckman, he gives you a lot of Bible. Lee Robinson gives you a lot of going after souls. Well, Brother Lester Roloff said, boys, get hungry. Get thirsty after things of God. Now, one man give you some, one man give you some, and take the best of all of them. But you know, usually when we take some things, Dr. Ruckman, he's like me. Sometimes he gets this way and that way, and he gets like me, and some of my preacher boys, they take all of my bad characteristics. I talk out of side of mouth when I preach. Hey, chicken, chicken. I'm going to embarrass you. You can't embarrass me, forget it. God stood up in church, I didn't cuss me out. You can't embarrass me. I said, look at this poor fool. Him and daddy both going to hell, and his daddy's a Baptist priest. Look at him, ain't he silly? And so there wasn't no hell. I guess that's where he's going. You ought to pursue God. You ought to be hungry for God. Ricky, don't make no difference. How many Germans you win? You lose that hunger for God and that touch of God on your life, them Germans ain't going to see a thing in the world but a blue suit.
They're going to say, yeah, yeah, go home. They'll get God on you. They'll get God on you. All the work we do, if God ain't on it. He's out of Charlie Mule's Ranch. You remember that boy's name was Taylor. He's a big evangelist. Still is. He's a big evangelist. He's swelled because he's big. He got to appreciate how a message on being filled with the Holy Spirit. He didn't know the Holy Spirit how to be filled either. He got to preach that message, and I may never get a Brother Wolf walked up to him. Brother Wolf's in his 40s then. He walked up and put his arm around that young preacher, and he said, son, if the message don't help you, it won't help nobody else. I knew what guilt that old man said. If the message don't help you, it won't help nobody else. I know you're ready to close, and I am too. But there's some things in Paul's life he had to do, and folks, he had to finish. He had to finish. I said to Brother Sam, he's bouncing that old building's so big and so gigantic, and Sam, he gets working on this, working on that, and working on the other, and Brother Sam's the best guy. He told me today, son, I got to finish some of these things. I got to finish some of these things. Look out there at the camp we got, Brother Dan, the other day, and I said, man, we got to finish some of these things. I mean, we just got to put the finishing touch on this thing. I mean, a house just don't look right, Harry, if you get in there and put that finishing touch on it, does it? Huh? Now, you and David, y'all are carpenters, ain't you? You know, first class. I mean, tack it in there. I mean, just do all that little pretty trim work in there. Now, Victor down there, see this big guy right here, this is Victor. And Victor, he got a nice little church down there. And Brother Danny Farley and they went down there, and they put their sheetrock up, and they fixed them windows, they done a lot of stuff. And then, Clemente went down there. Now, you just have to know Clemente. Clemente comes from Mexico, and they'll fly into Boston, they'll fly everywhere in these million-dollar homes that he can't speak a word of English. And they'll make them spiral cases and things like that. And I mean, he's a craftsman. I've seen him take some 2x6s and build them gigantic doors in that church down there. I don't see how in the world ever done. And he engraves them doors and carves them doors. I mean, just got a master touch on that. And boy, he went down to Victor's, and Victor bought $1,000 worth of supplies. Now, $1,000 of finished stuff is a whole lot of stuff. And I mean, they just put every little piece of trim over every door and every crack and everywhere in the world. And man, Victor said, look how pretty this church is. That's that finish and touch. And that's where your Christian life is. You just been going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and we're going to translate the Bible. I seen a dummy the other day, he couldn't spell cat, and he was going to translate the Bible into a Deuteronomy. And I just want to tell you something, you're thinking the matter is a whole lot too high for you. That's what the Bible said. You're dwelling on things too high for you. You got to get down right where you're at, you know, and get you a gospel tract and go over and tell the guy to read it. You read along with him and tell him how to be saved, and you'll be better off. You'll be better off. I said, we got to finish the thing. And Paul said, I have finished the thing. And you need to finish your missionary work. You need to finish your missionary work. You need to finish training some good men. You need to finish building that church. You said, I feel like the Lord is through with me where I'm at. You're not real careful. He'd be through with you, period. If he's through with you, what have you done since you've been there? You ever thought about that? I got to think about what I've done. That's nothing. That's why I know the Lord ain't finished when he got started. I mean, that gives you a lot of light on that thing. You know? Don't get to thinking so high of yourself. You know? Man, I've done this great work here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I looked out the other day, an old 80-year-old woman sitting right there, and she just come back from El Salvador. Is that right? Now, you Yankees, y'all really like this. Her son told her, said, now, look, you can't go to El Salvador. She said, I got to go to El Salvador. I'm not but 80 years old. Brother Wood, I'd be all if I go to El Salvador. I said, sure, go ahead. I know she's going anyway. Ain't no problem. And this old woman been getting to 50 years working for God. And she told her son, said, I'm going to El Salvador. And I'm going down there, and Olympia's a Mexican girl. We're going to go down there and visit her people and try to win them God. They had 17 saved watching down there. But my son told her, said, you can't go down there. You can't go down on this side. She said, why? He said, you've never been out of the country before. She said, I have been out of this country before. She said, I went to Connecticut last year. You don't have to be too smart to lead 17 people to Christ. You just got to be willing to go to El Salvador. She come back, she's all upset. She said, I'm telling you.
She said, I eat some of that moldy, that chicken moldy, something that made me sick. She said, I like to die. She said, if I hadn't eaten that, man, we ain't no tell how many people we had sick. Sunday morning, I look around, she's sound asleep. 80 years old, born in 81. She's sound asleep. But all of a sudden, they're saying, just as I am that one thing, she woke up. And she said, honey, did you want to get saved this morning? Oh, this is our answer, I'm going to do. This is a signal. Time to run up.
It's time to go. That's how it is. Me and Brother East ever sitting out the other day, somebody started singing. I looked over there, and there she was, 80 years old. Just barely could get in. She got on that little girl. That little young teenage girl said, I want to be saved, Miss Science. This old woman's going out in a blaze of glory. Friday night, her son, been a mailman after years and years, one of the greatest souls I've ever known, saved in our church. Brother Harry Nix was staying in his house. The preacher stayed in his house, had one guy, I won't call his name, he used to be around here, but lived around here. And he went down there and stayed, but he was studying his Bible when Brother Dean got this. Brother Dean said, what are you saying? He said, I'm an evangelist. I got to study these evangelistic message. He said, won't we take some of them out here and use them? Yeah. Come on, you're going to be an evangelist for evangelize.
Yeah.
And he went out one night and he got scared. He said, well, you get killed out there, man. But then he goes out about 11:30, 12 o'clock. Well, Mike goes down, he goes to Houston. He goes out of Mike from Bump, Pennsylvania. He goes out and stay with Dean. Dean ain't got nobody with him. And so Dean, he gets up about 12 o'clock, puts on his clothes. He said, I got to go run my traps. Goes down that old ghetto, go down his little cheapy apartment. That's some little old girl, like 14, 15 years old. And this happened. Some of the men said, right here was that. And it happened last Saturday, about 6 o'clock.